to some Mike Empey sound here in a moment, but wanted to introduce to you a special guest, former BYU offensive lineman, started at left tackle for that 2001 team. The team, the offensive unit that blocked for a Doak Walker Award winner. And we always elevate Luke. We always elevate Luke into this this level of the greatest running back of all time. And Luke would be the first to tell you, he's like, I couldn't do it without these offensive linemen. Dustin Reichert is in studio with us. What's up, Dustin? How you doing, man?
How we doing?
What's up, fellas?
What is the thing that you always say? You know, I feel
baby.
Mitch Harper, the historian here on ESPN 960. Mitchell, tell me your favorite memory of Dustin Reichert.
Well, I love the fact that he both played at BYU and a little bit for the Oakland Raiders as well. But my favorite memory's got to be that Liberty Bowl in Memphis when he had the interception, or not the interception, the touchdown grab. And it was the only touchdown that day for BYU. The frozen pipes at the frozen humid conditions in Memphis, the frozen Liberty Bowl as it was.
No sleeves, big fat neck roll.
Yeah, the neck roll got me, man.
caught the fade route going lateral from Dolman, rumbling, stumbling. The safety tried to take me on the goal line, and I think I caught him with a knee in the head, and he left the game.
Louisville had Dave Ragone, Deion Branch in that team. That's a pretty good Louisville team.
Yeah, they were good. It was unfortunate for sure that was the only touchdown. We came in there with high hopes, but when you're missing a Doak Walker award winner, it makes it for a rough run game.
Many people don't know that Dustin Reichert actually played some hoop in high school and went against some of the really good basketball players, professional basketball players. Tell us a little bit about it, Dustin.
Mr. Matt Barnes?
Yeah, I'll talk about Matt.
Yeah, little Matt Barnes that I held to an 8-point outing in our championship in a tournament in the Placerville Mountain Man Classic in 1998.
Hey, man, you got to relieve those. And so, like, I mean, when you see that athleticism being showcased at that left tackle position and rumbling, stumbling into the end zone, just realize the dude was a 6'7" power forward, small forward, probably played a little bit of point back in the day.
I played center, but the coach always had to tell me, pull the reins. I'm like, Dustin, you can't bring the ball up. Dustin, you can't bring them. I'd try to go on a sprint and just try and come up with it. And, you know, one of the small guys come and pick me. And so, you know, I learned pretty quick.
Love it, man. I wanted to break down the offensive line with you. And we want to play some Mike Empey sound in this segment. Mike Empey, you know, he sat down with Mitch Harper during the media day. And we got some great insight into what he thinks this offensive line can be. Many are proposing that this is the strength of the offense right now. It's not the quarterback, definitely not the tight ends, the running backs, wide receivers. It's like the offensive line has to lead the way. I like putting that pressure on the offensive line. I really do. They should set the tone. But let's go to number two. Mitch, what feedback? But in order for this offensive line to be successful, they got to be bigger, stronger, faster, and they have to take this offseason very seriously. So, what feedback have you received from Nua Tufisi on your linemen since spring ball ended?
Just that they're hitting their numbers. They had testing the past few weeks, and we sat down with Nua and talked about where he felt like deficiencies were, and he was really pleased with how the offensive line had worked, and so I just feel like, you know, that they work hard. Newton's a good, great coach. I don't really worry about that part of it. I'm just happy that, you know, they're developing and getting bigger and, you know, really concerned about getting the newest guys into the system.
How important is the weight room for the offensive line? Out of all the position groups, is it the most important for them?
Absolutely. I mean, these guys are pushing the sled, you know, and in the trenches, and it really comes a lot. You know, obviously a lot of our position is the technique, which Mike can't be as phenomenal at teaching, but it comes into leverage and brute force and, you know, pound for pound. I mean, that's the thing. You gotta put the weight on, you gotta put it on in lean muscle mass and fire that fast twitch muscle fiber so that you are explosive off the line and getting that leverage and getting, you know, being able to stay low and keeping that knee bent. And I know that Mike Hempe's doing a great job teaching those guys down there. I've got a lot of faith in what he's doing and how he's developing. It's funny how he starts that up with you know, they got to hit their numbers. That's such a salesman. And that's the
background
it comes
from.
But it does. You know, it does. You got to set that, you know, to allow them to compete and allow them to. And that's why, you know, in the sales industry, that's why they go after football players because, you know, they want to hit those numbers.
Yeah, indeed. Force equals mass times acceleration, and they need to create a little bit more force, knock other human beings off that line of scrimmage. Mike Hempe went into how many offensive linemen that he projects will actually be in camp this season.
Everybody's healthy when we start fall camp. We'll have 17 offensive linemen. And within that group, there's brand new guys that just got home from missions or just got recruited that have no experience. So we're deep, but they're not necessarily guys we want to throw in a game right now. But definitely feel a lot better about our 2-deep and where we're at.
I know you've had discussions with Coach Hempe. What did he say about the depth right now on offensive line?
Well, you know, obviously he's got some experience with the guys in the first string, you know, the first line of guys that have that Saturday, that Thursday night game experience. And, you know, his younger guys, his second, third string guys, obviously, like you were saying, are fresh off of mission or just fresh out of high school, whatever that may be. But, you know, I think with the pace that Kalani's going to set down there, they'll get that experience pretty quick. You know, obviously there's nothing like game time experience, but I think you'll see some of those young guys, I think, sprout and could develop and getting some snaps in games this year for sure.
When you were there and you looked around the entirety of the room and looked at the talent that was available, we're seeing kind of this influx of offensive linemen into the program. I don't know how many they want, but it seems like they want like 20 offensive linemen in that group. When you were there, what was the quantity and how much talent was there that was behind you?
Right. It was I think we usually played I think we usually had about 13 to 15 guys because you always want to have, you know, obviously you got to deal with injuries, but you always want to have a full set, you know, offense, and then kind of that rover guy that can play guard, play tackle, maybe jump into some center. And you want to have kind of three guys that can play, you know, as your backups, and then obviously you got to have your up and comers, you know, your scout mm-hmm. team guys. So from what I remember, we had about 15 guys consistently, and you know, I mean, there was always the guys that were challenging for reps and thought that they should be in there. And, you know, you wanted them to compete. You wanted those guys to kind of push the envelope with the starters. You know, and then there's those guys that are just there to be there, that are a big body that, you know, yeah. the defense needs to push on a little bit. But there's always, you know, I think with the situation that the team's in, with the injuries that they've had and the vulnerability of the offensive line they have for the last couple of years, they've got to go cast a bigger net. You know, and find so they can find that kid that's willing to blossom and come in and put on some weight and turn into the player that they need. Because I know that they're bigger than they've been in a long time as far as height-wise and weight-wise. And I think that was the direction that Mike wanted to go quickly. And I think with, like, James coming off his mission and transferring and that transfer from Notre Dame and, you know, some mm-hmm. of these guys have come in that have
big deal.
Created a height, you know, the height that he wants. And I think that was something that was lacking in the last couple of years.
You know, I don't know if there's, I mean, along a cohesive unit, I don't know if there's one offensive lineman that's more important than the other. But if you were to say, you know, for Tanner Mangum, is there a more important offensive lineman? Is it the blind side, which, you know, left tackle is getting paid more in the NFL than the other offensive lineman? Which position is the most important for Tanner Mangum?
Well, I think last year it would have been the center. I think, you mm-hmm. know, I think Tosh, because he needed someone to help make those calls, identify the defense, identify mm-hmm. the mic, seeing that as a young player coming in. But now that I think he has that game time experience, he can identify the mic. He can see what they're running as far as cover two, cover three, you know, nickel. He can see that. And then, you know, he doesn't need kind of that crutch.
Yeah.
But now if he's going to sit back in the pocket and make that decision, he's got to have a good left tackle. It's going to give him some time.
Yeah, great stuff coming from Dustin Reichert. That's your Cougar Inside Report brought to you by Central Valley Medical Center, centralvalleymedicalcenter.com. Mitch, let's fire up the top 25, BYU's top 25 at 5. We'll make it real quick before we get out to the voice of the Cougars, Greg Rebell. It's time for our number 21 selection, I believe, on our ESPN 960 top 25 list. Darnell, you were part of the panel.
I was.
Did you enjoy breaking down your little top 25 list?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great, and it's a little primer, you know, for getting ready for the season and seeing where guys have progressed. And then based on what we talked to the coaches and athletes about at Media Day, maybe rearranging some of those things in your mind. But, yeah, it's good to break that down that way.
I love breaking down this top 25 list. If you haven't seen some of the the individuals that have been named on our top 25 list, you can check it out on our Twitter page. We're also going to be tweeting stuff out here in a moment. Our number 21 selection, though, is actually an offensive lineman. And he's actually a right tackle, but he's a young, aspiring left tackle, I would say. He's been, I would say, he's definitely hyped. Coming into the program, he's half man, half grizzly bear, 6'7", 318 pounds now as a redshirt freshman. That's a massive individual for a redshirt freshman. Kiefer Longson is his name. He's been ran over by two vehicles in his life, and he came out still alive, unscathed, maybe a little bit of a knee injury. But, yeah, Kiefer Longson, number 21. That is high praise for a guy that has not played a down of football. So according to our experts, our panelists, he's number 21. He eventually could be your starting right tackle. I'm projecting that he will be your starting right tackle, and it sounds like our ESPN 960 analysts are also doing it. Austin Hoyt has been – he's the tenured guy. He's listed ahead of Kiefer Longson right now, but I foresee that Kiefer Longson will emerge as your starting right tackle. Mitch Harper.
Yeah, Kiefer Longson on our panelists. You, Ben, had Kiefer rated the highest. You had him 12th. On your individual poll. I had him at 16. Brandon Gurney put him at 22, and then Jake Caressa, the offensive lineman on the panel, put Longson at number 19.
Jake doesn't know what he's talking about. 19.
Where did I put him? I don't even remember now.
Yeah, Darnell, you did not have him ranked.
Okay. Look at that. He doesn't care about offensive linemen, Dustin. He doesn't
in
them.
Listen, Kiefer and Austin Chambers and Chendon Herring, those guys all got to redshirt last year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in this kind of offense that they want to run, and in the way that they're trying to craft this offensive line, I think that's great for them to have that whole year where they can just focus on getting bigger and stronger, understanding the offense, and not having to be forced into action right away. They're going to do a similar thing with James Empey. They're going to redshirt him this year. At least that's the plan that Mike said. We're going to redshirt him, get him bigger, stronger, mm-hmm. faster, get him to understand what's going on. And so I think Kiefer could be a great player. I'm not sure if this is his year yet, but I think being that he's just a freshman, he's got plenty of time to step into that starting lineup and make an impact.
Yeah, he's got that redshirt year. The reason why I put him at I put him at number 12. I haven't even looked at my list in a while, but I put him up very high because, look, I have an NFL defensive end/linebacker, Harvey Longy, that is telling me that he very well could have been the most difficult individual to pass rush against at BYU last year. He saw the best offensive lineman, I mean, beside, I'd say, Tijon, at least on the exterior. He saw the best offensive lineman at BYU last year every day in practice. Now, Kiefer wasn't the, Kiefer was definitely good last year, but he's had an entire offseason to refine his talents, his skills, his technique. Coach Empey does a tremendous job, as Dustin Reichert has pointed out. Now, at 318, 320 pounds, it's going to be very difficult to bull rush that guy, and he's got tremendous athleticism. He leans a little bit, according to those that I've talked to. He leans a little bit and wants to put his helmet into a guy. He wants to really butt them and kind of knock them off their line. He just needs to be a little bit more nimble and not necessarily catch, but absorb some of that impact. Dustin,
it's a very fine line when guys want to do that because you want to see that aggression. Obviously, you want to see them, bump that line, bump that run, and get them off their track. But you want to do it with more of a punch. You want to do it with more hands. You want to do it with more explosion and being able to set them and control them within their chest instead of get that head lean with the chin. I got caught with that a lot. I did that tendency with that head lean and want to thump with the head and got caught leaning too much, and guy, you know, shuffles you and gets on the inside moves.
Yeah, so why is that? Why is it that the guys your size, big, strong, you know, you want to put a helmet into them? I know you had that neck roll your senior year. I know that would probably help absorb some of that impact on a bull rush or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, when you got those bigger guys and they're just lowering their head, just coming straight into you, you can absorb it by just a kind of a quick head, you know, but you got to get it back out, and you got to, you know, you got to lock in, lock inside the numbers and extend. But, you know, it's finding that balance where you do that quickly, you know, you get that head out, because you don't want the head in there too long, because you get caught with that spin move, you get that inside, you know, rush.
So if Kiefer gets his punch down, though, from that right tackle spot, you foresee some greatness coming from him. What have you heard from Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that kid with that kind of size, I know that he's going to, you know, spend the time with him, just because of, you know, he coached me when I was there. I know he spends the time with the guys where he knows their strengths, he knows their weaknesses, so he's gonna exploit the strength, but he's definitely going to, you know, force them to improve on their weakness.
Well, love the analysis. Great stuff coming from Dustin Reich. Thanks for hopping on with us, man.
Anytime.
I know you got things to do, people to see, but if you want to stick around, you can. But really, really appreciate you.